Mind all the boys. And I want to share a few thoughts from 1 Corinthians 15 on the hope of Easter. And as you're turning to that in your Bible, I just want to share a couple of announcements. First of all, this coming Tuesday, in addition to the board meeting, there's going to be a meeting for all those who have already spoken with Sue and are volunteering. That's why we're here today. Sunday school teacher had just finished telling our third graders about the Easter story and how Jesus was crucified and placed in the tomb with a great stone sealing the opening. Then, wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection, she asked her class, "What do you think were the first words Jesus spoke when he came out of the tomb?" And little Susie raised her hand. I know, teacher. A little Susie always knew the answer. And so the teacher was waiting to see if there was anybody else who might have an answer. I know, teacher. So finally the teacher said, "Okay, Susie, what did Jesus say when he came out of the tomb?" And little Susie raised her hands to heaven. Ta-da! Easter is the ta-da of the Christian church. On Easter Sunday, Christ came out of the tomb and now lives in our lives forever. For Christians around the world, the belief in the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of all that we believe. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 of the priority that the resurrection has for us as Christians. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." More than anything else, Paul says, more than anything else that we may teach on a Sunday, the one thing that Christians around the world in Sydney, Victoria, on Vancouver Island, across this nation, the one thing that every believer and follower of Christ will attest to is that Jesus Christ physically rose from the grave and he is alive today. But just as there were doubters today, the Apostle Paul also faced those who doubted not only the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection of anyone. The prevalent thought was that once a person died, that was it. And that really hasn't changed a whole lot, has it? I'm sure you know of people in your circle of influence that would say the same thing, that once they close their eyes and breathe their last, that's it. They then become worm fodder. But the Bible says that there is proof, evidence. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say that Jesus was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. The disciples all testified that Jesus rose from the dead. Even when facing their own impending death, when called upon to deny Jesus' resurrection, they remained resolute. Folk, if it had been true that they had somehow stolen the body of Jesus, or Jesus had just kind of went into a coma and then resuscitated back in the grave, if all of that had been true, folk, what sense would it have been made for every single one of the disciples to give their lives for a lie? They believed and preached that Jesus Christ is alive, not just spiritually, not just sentimentally in our hearts, but he physically rose from the grave. Not only did the apostles witness Jesus' resurrection, but there were at least 500 people who all could testify in a court of law with their hand on the Bible. Yes, they saw and heard and walked and talked with Jesus. The church fathers all testify and proclaim. In fact, many of us in this room today, your church tradition would be reciting the Nicene and Apostles' Creed, which testifies that Jesus Christ came, he died, he was buried, and he was raised again on the third day. Folk, that is the good news. And the fact is, it just didn't happen by accident. It wasn't a coincidence. Jesus didn't just decide one day, I think it would be a good idea to have things set up that I would be arrested by the authorities. I would be taken by the Roman government. I would be ripped to shreds by a cat of nine tails so that there would be nothing left but flesh and bones. I think it would be a great idea if they would just then take me and hang me on a cruel Roman cross where I would eventually die of suffocation. And then have a Roman guard thrust a spear in my side. Yeah, I think I don't have anything else to do next Friday. Why don't we do that? No. Paul says, all this was according to the scriptures. Why does he say that? Because the scriptures, the Old Testament prophets, all pointed to Jesus and all declare that the plan of salvation, the cross, the burial, and the resurrection were not a one day, one moment event, but were planned by our gracious, providential Heavenly Father in the eons of eternity. And he decided why? Because he knew that there would be a time when there would be a man, a woman, a boy, and a girl who needed to know that their sins were forgiven, that they could have a relationship with God. And one day, at an altar at Shepherd Gospel Temple in Toronto, a young 9-year-old boy by the name of Ralph would come, and he would come and he'd come into a relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. And folk, that's the same for every person in this room today. Every boy and girl, every young person, rich and poor, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. And he died for you, and he rose from the dead for you today. Hallelujah. He goes on to give the implications. Well, what if the resurrection didn't happen? Well, Paul goes on to say, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then all our preaching is useless. Our faith is useless. We apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Make no mistake, church. The resurrection is the cornerstone of everything that we believe. It validates everything Jesus said and did. Easter celebrates the most crucial event of all of history and has eternal consequences for everyone here today. What is that? Why should I even care what happened 2,000 years ago?
Because Jesus was rose and he's alive today.
Amen. And you know why? Because he's alive? There are five things that we can be sure of. We have hope today. We have hope that death is not the end. Death has been with us since the beginning. There are those who teach that when a person dies, they will come back through some process of reconstitution or whatever, and they'll come back as a butterfly. There are those who believe that once a person dies, that's it. They're put in the ground, they become worm fodder, and they're forgotten. But because of the resurrection, the Bible says that we no longer need to fear death. For Jesus is the first fruits, the Bible says. What that means is simply, he now stands as the gateway for all of us to have the hope that we know that when we go from this life to the next, that we know that he's going to be on the other side. We have a hope. Secondly, that evil does not win. Evil does not win. As I've been watching the news this past week, I got to be honest with you. I've been asking the question, how much longer, God? How much longer are you going to put up with this planet? When governments presumably poison their own people, when other governments bomb another nation, when Christians who are gathering to celebrate their Savior are massacred. Lord, how much longer? How much longer? And then I think of the cross, and I think of the cross, which was one of the most cruel, if not the most cruel, injustice ever perpetrated on anyone. When I think of Jesus, who did not deserve to be on that cross. When I think that I, because of my sin, should have hung there, he hung in my place. Why? Because he loves us. But if that had all happened on Good Friday and nothing else, then that's all it would have been, was a cruel, cruel, cruel injustice. The greatest perpetuation of evil ever accomplished. But Jesus rose from the dead, just as he said, declaring to heaven and to hell that evil will not win. Hallelujah. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever on his throne to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And if we know that evil shall not win, we also know that we have the hope that God will forgive our sin. Do you remember in Mark, the two women who came to the tomb, and as they approached the tomb, thinking that all hope was now gone, they're amazed at two sights. First of all was the sight that that Roman stone had been rolled away. And then the second sight were two angels who were sitting there, and one of them speaks to the women and says, "Why do you look for the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Now go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. Therefore you will see him just as he told you." Now why in the world would the angel specifically point out Peter? I mean, there were 10 other disciples that were in fear and in trepidation. But the angel points out Peter. And I almost get the picture. If you want to just use your imagination with me just for a moment. During that period between Friday and Sunday morning was the silence of Sunday. And in the silence of Sunday, there was a conversation going on in heaven. In heaven, Jesus had taken the blood before the altar of God and presented to him, to the Father, the sins of humanity that he had taken upon himself. He led captivity captive from the gates of Hades. And he rose and he came as victor. And then there was a conversation. And the Father turns to an angel. And the angel is saying, man, this is great. This is awesome. The devil thought he had you licked, God. But look what happened. Jesus won the victory. Jesus won the victory. He's got the keys, God. What else is there? Well, there's one more thing. Okay, God, what is it? Well, I've got a message for you, angel. I want you to bring to the people. There's going to be a couple women who are going to come to the tomb on Sunday morning. And they think they're going to come, and because of the rush of Friday, they didn't get a chance to put spices on Jesus' body. But that doesn't matter now. But they're going to come. You're going to roll away the stone so that my son can come out victorious, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when these two women come, they're going to wonder what's going on. And I've got a message that I want you to give to the women. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to first of all tell them that Jesus is alive, that he's gone to his disciples. But I want you to give them this message. Go tell the disciples and Peter. And Peter, God, don't you remember what Peter did? Don't you remember what he did to Jesus? That doesn't make sense. Peter, with all of his bravado, boasts that he's going to give his life for Jesus. He'll never forsake him. And when the opportunity came, he couldn't even pray with Jesus. No, I want you to tell the disciples and Peter. But why, God? Peter really blew it when Jesus said that before the cock was going to crow that he would deny Jesus. And sure enough, as Jesus is being led away, Peter couldn't keep his mouth shut. And when he could have spoken, he denied Jesus. Angel, here's the point. My son has just presented the blood sacrifice on the altar. That blood covers every man, woman, and child, and Peter. And Peter. And if you are here today, and maybe you're like Peter, you're sitting here and thinking, yeah, so what? It's been a wonderful service. It's been great music. It was an awesome play. But so what? Look what I've done. I got news for you. I've got good news for you. The angel says, go tell Sydney Pentecostal Church and Ralph and Bob and Roland. Go tell them, I am alive. Their sin is forgiven. Their sin is atoned for. We can come back together. I am alive. Because of the resurrection, you are forgiven. Because of the resurrection, your victory is possible. Because of the resurrection, we have a better promise for the future. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, and you also may be where I am, for you know the place where I am going. Oh, my friend, not only has our sins forgiven, not only do we no longer need to fear death, But folk, God's given us a future for tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. You know what that means for you and I? It means not only when I accept Christ that I have heaven by and by, but it means that God has given me a purpose right in the here and now. It means that when I leave this room, I have a mission. I have a divine mission. And that mission is to tell my family, to tell my friends, to tell those with whom I go to school and with whom I work, that there is a reason to live. There is a hope. Because Jesus is alive, we can live also when we know him, when we believe in him, when we trust him. He gives us a hope and a future. Max Licato, in his book, 6 Hours, One Friday, and the choir can begin making their way to the platform. Max Licato, in his book, 6 Hours, One Friday, tells the story of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle. They lived near a large river, and the tribe was in need of medical attention. A contagious disease was spreading across the village, and people were dying daily. A hospital was not too terribly far away across the river, but the Indians would not cross it because they believed the river was inhabited by evil spirits. And to enter its water would mean certain death. The missionary explained how he had crossed the river and was unharmed, but they were not impressed. He then took them to the bank and placed his hand on the water. They still wouldn't go in. He walked into the water up to his waist and splashed water on his face, but it didn't matter. They were still afraid to enter the river. Finally, he dove into the river, swam beneath the surface until he emerged on the other side. He raised a triumphant fist in the air. He had entered the water and escaped. It was then that the Indians broke into a cheer and followed him across the river. Brother and sister, my friends today, maybe you're looking across and you're wondering, can I get there? Is there any hope? And the river moves in front of you, rushing, waiting to take you under its depths. But on the other side, Jesus is there. He has come out with his hands raised victorious, and he says, come on over. There is hope. There is life. For I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Will you come over this morning? Have you come over? Will you trust him this morning? Join us as we praise him one more time. Would you stand with us?